We are live from the Heart of Christ Church in Lebanon, or in Jonestown, Pennsylvania, and we know God is good. And all the time. And we also know, believe, hold to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ called us with three commands through the Word of God that we are to love the Father, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in those three commands, all of the scriptures are summed up, and we hold to that truth because as we love God, we are transformed. As we love others, we are helping to transform those and ourselves, and then we go with the gospel, the message that He has given us, which is the Word of God. Amen. Today, our message is entitled, Being Conformed to Christ. Now, I have to give you a confession. Mom, I'm telling you. I love our kids. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That is the life of our church. It never upsets me. In fact, it makes me chuckle. Because how many of you were that little child? Amen. And may we bring them up in the admonition of the Lord, because she too will be conformed to the heart of Jesus Christ. And that's what my message is all about today. I went away. You all know Pastor Dave preached, and I had a week off. And I had no idea what I was preaching this Sunday. I've been getting the messages weeks ahead of time. I had no idea what I was preaching today. And I got up to the mountains, and most of you know me. The mountains is a place of respite for me, even though we were working. And I said, Lord, I have no idea what I'm doing. And He didn't say anything. So we're going through the weekend, and it's Saturday, and we were in the midst of our work. And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking, and I'm just somber because I'm like, we've been working so hard, Lord, I haven't had time to really invest in You. I said, and I'm lost. I have no idea. I'm going to be going home, and I still don't know what to preach. And He says, well, what do you see? It was the first words He spoke to me all weekend. Well, what do you see? I said, the cabin's a mess. I said, oh my gosh, you know, the walls are bare. You can see all the imperfections. You know, we tore out all this old stuff, and we're putting new stuff in. And it was just like somebody, you know, I felt like Goliath and David slung the rock and hit me right between the eyes. Whack! He says, that's progressive sanctification. And I thought, oh my goodness, what do you mean? Well, we bought this land that the cabin sits on in 1981. Now, I wasn't part of that. I married into the family, smartest thing I ever did. And in 1986, we became part of the hunting camp. And it was an old green trailer that sat down on the bottom, and the walls were rotting. And they wanted to build. Well, that's why they brought me in, because they used my money to build the cabin. They were smart. But we put it together on a shoestring. $17,000 is what it cost us to build a 28 by 60 rancher. Now, that's cheap. How many of you want to buy that house today? Okay, it's three bedroom, all right? But we built it on the cheap. Everything was used. T111 siding, how many of you know what that is? Okay. We even got our shingles at a discount price. Now, they weren't used, but I think they were like 10 years old when we bought them. We put this all together, and we had a hunting camp. Took years. We move forward. We get to several years ago, and the T111 siding was going bad. Well, you got to constantly stain it and what have you. And we saved up money, put it all together, and we put siding on. Well, then we actually did a deck first, and that was all used lumber. Then we replaced that in good lumber. Then we put the siding on. Then we put a roof on. And then we had a horrible thing happen. We actually had a point where we got bed bugs. How many of you love bed bugs? Okay. We had to gut the entire cabin. It's the only way to get rid of them. Otherwise, it can take years to get rid of them. Gutted the entire cabin. Started putting stuff back in. Got to the point where, I mean, we literally tore the flooring out because it was carpet everywhere. And you don't want carpet where you've had bed bugs. Finally got to the point where we got enough money saved back and we decided, okay, it's now time to do the kitchen. We started tearing that out, putting the new one in. And this is where my story meets you. Because I want you to think about your life. We start with something and we think it looks good. But then we get to a point where we meet God. And as we meet God, he's going to do something in our lives because he sees who we are. He sees the raw material that he has to work with. And Pastor Dave said it so clearly last week. He is not going to deal with that old stuff. He's going to bring something new. Can I get an amen? Amen. Because if he's got to deal with that old stuff, how many of us are going to fight him the whole way? But if he's going to bring new, we don't have any choice but to walk into it because he says, no, behold, I do a new thing. Will you not perceive it? And if we're in Christ, we have to perceive it. So today, I want to talk to you about that very reality, about what it looks like being conformed to Christ and how this works in our lives. So open your Bibles. You're all probably thinking, is he going to get to the word or what? Open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter 4, and we're going to begin in verse 17, and we're going to move forward to verse 24. We are going to be in chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians, beginning in the 17th verse, moving to chapter 24. Thus saith the word of the Lord. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. And we're going to pause. You and I, when we first came to Christ, we were those fallen, broken people that are being spoken of here. We did not live a life unto God. We lived a life unto ourselves. We built it. It's what we had. It's what we brought together because it's what your parents taught you. It's what your community taught you. It's what the school taught you. It is called nurture and nature. Okay? Nature teaches us something. Nurture teaches us another. The people that we are around, the circumstances of our lives raise us up to be the people that we are. Now, I need to ask you a question. How many of you got it right out of the gate? I love it. There's not a hand in the air. Because the reality is, we know we're sinful creatures. And it takes us a little while to get beyond that. If I asked that in a stadium at a Penn State football game, how many hands do you think would have went in the air when I asked that question? About 2/3 of them, okay? Because those people walk in the world. My hand would have been in the air pre-Christ. Because I'm proud of what I did. What are you talking about? I'm a good person. We all know that by the grace of God, we are not good people, but through the grace of God, he redeems us and turns us into good people. But But in that redemption, there's a work that needs to happen. And that's where verse 20 here, where it says, you did not learn Christ in this way. If you truly have learned of Christ, you are in the Bible. How many of you right now are in your Bible? Yeah, you're in the church. Okay, and I think it's so amazing because we not only expect you to bring your Bible, but we have Bibles in the pews. How many of you have been in a church where there are no Bibles in the pews? I'll guarantee you I have definitely been there. And it's not because everybody brings a Bible, it's because very little of the Bible is even taught. And that's the concept that I want us to understand. The first concept is the fact that if we are going to change, if we are going to become a new creation, and I'm speaking this out there to those who are watching on internet land as much as I'm speaking it here to the Heart of Christ Church, that we have to be changed. And if we're going to be changed, we have to have a different line of projection, okay? If we stay on the same line of projection and expect different results, what's that called? Insanity, exactly. But that's the way most of our world works. They continue doing the same thing and expecting things to get better. Things don't get better. That's why people get bitter. Look at what's happening out there on the internet. Look at what's happening out there in television land. When you see these people screaming and hollering, you know, TDS is a very real thing right now. Because it's not just him that they don't want to follow. It's us. You know, they look at us and say, well, you know, you're on that right wing stuff. No, I'm on the side of Christ. Can I get an amen? And we know that there is a way that is good and profitable unto a man. And it leads to life. But we also know that there is a way that leadeth unto death. And that is the way of self. And that is the way of our provision and doing the things that we want. And that's exactly what this scripture is talking about here. That they have become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. That is who we were, and that is who our world is. And there are young people today that are changing, and they're seeing that there's a reality that they want to be a part of, where there's a hope. Because these people that are out there, and I don't mean to pick on the way people look, you know, but they're out there and they're wearing their rainbow colors, and they're screaming at the top of their lungs, and I think to myself, you can be whatever you want to be, but don't make me have to agree with you. That's the way life works. You get to choose your road. Choose well, because there is a destination that you're going to reach. And it's my prayer that each and every one of us sees that reality in our own lives, and we begin to choose better, okay? Am I the best Christian that I can be right now? The answer to that question is yes. I am the best Christian that I can be right now. But am I done? No, I am a work in process and a work in progress, because process can be static. That's why we say we're a work in progress, because progress is always moving forward. And that's what I want us to be. That's what I think the Lord wants us to be, is always moving forward. For thus he says from verse 21, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. You and I need to understand God has something better for each and every one of us. That's the righteousness and truth. For only God is righteous and only God is truth. We seek our own sense of truth. How many of you have heard that said? Well, that's truth for you, but it's not truth for me. If it's not truth, it's not truth. Okay? There is one undeniable, ultimate fulfillment of truth, and his name for us is Jesus Christ. And there can be no other, for he is the Word of God, and all things were created by him and for him. And in that, as we come to him, we find the reason for our purpose, okay? I thought my purpose was to be a machinist for a lot of years. Guess what my dad was? A machinist, yeah. How many of us follow in the footsteps of our fathers? Yeah, many of us do. Now, some of us take a different turn because we know, you know, hey, things are changing and I'm interested in this and I'm interested in that. But we choose it, don't we? But then God chose me. And I found out about it. You see, that's how it works. You don't choose him. He chooses you and you find out about it. And the awesome thing is, brothers and sisters and all of you out there on internet land, he chose you before the foundations of the world. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before anything was ever created. How can that be? Because he's God and we're not. His plans, his purposes, our faith. And that's where we live and that's where we have our being. We started that cabin up there and we put it together. We built it the way we could. We put in a good foundation and then we went cheap on everything else because we couldn't afford a whole lot more. How many of us build our lives that way? Okay, that is what we do in this world. We start with the best we can, and then from there on, how many of us are just cheaping it out because we're selling out to this, we're selling out to that. Well, I don't want people to be upset with me, so we'll go along with this. And well, I guess I got to go along with that. You know, how many of us are followers and how many of us are leaders? Okay? And the reality is, if you're a leader, there's still somebody that you're following because you are either following after demonic principles or you are following after holy principles. And we need to understand that because there is only two dimensions in our world, right and wrong, good and evil. And we all grew up, each and every one of us grew up evil. We don't like to admit that, but do you know the church will admit that openly? Because we realize that we are fallen, we are broken. But God gives us the ability to choose. And he says, choose, choose well. And I will bless you. Well, Pastor, what do you mean he's going to bless us? Let's go to our next scripture. I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Just a few pages back. 2 Corinthians. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're only going to do three verses here. Because I want us to understand that you know, in these things that we're going to be working into to be conformed to the image of God, we're going to go through some stuff. And it's that stuff that truly is the transforming grace of God. So from the 16th verse of the fourth chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, we read these words. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When you and I look at these words, you know, I think about this because it's difficult having your life changed, okay? I'll tell you a little story about our hunting camp because, again, this is, God just slammed me with this thing. We have been operating now with plywood floors for approximately, I'm going to say, 9 years, 10 years. And it was funny because we had carpet down at first. The entire cabin was carpeted, even the kitchen, the dumbest thing we ever did. You never carpet a kitchen. We did. And the first day it was down, my brother-in-law spilled the biggest pot of chili on it you'd ever want to see. It was hilarious. I loved it. Because I told him I didn't want carpet in the kitchen because food gets in it and it's going to be a mess. You don't need to worry about that. It'll never happen. That very evening, I just looked at my brother-in-law, laughed, and walked out the front door. Yeah, it was not only on the carpet, it was on the ceiling. I want you to think about that. Talking to you. Isn't that what our mess does? It doesn't only get on the floor, it gets on everything. And God says, you're going to go through some stuff. Because in order for him to get rid of that stuff out of our lives, he's got to bring trial and tribulation into our lives. Because until you finally get to the point where you are uncomfortable with your sin, you're not going to give it up. How many of you know that to be true? I've seen it. I've experienced it. I know it. He says, I'm going to have to bring you through some things because you need to surrender some stuff. And I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm going to use my elders and my worship team as a point unto that, and my deacons. Miss Marion is not a bad person. She didn't get cancer because she's a bad person. Okay? Pastor David didn't get cancer because he was out there fornicating and all that stuff. No. Brother Mitch, he didn't get bladder cancer because he was an immoral man and overcharging people and all that stuff. No, that's not what happened. Miss Susan didn't get her ailment because her worship is fake and what? No, their hearts have been with the Lord. Can I get an amen? But God will allow his people to go through things to transform them. But more importantly, and this is the thing that I want you all to hear and understand, God will allow his people to go through stuff so others can be changed. Because it's about loving God, loving others, and going. And sometimes he says, you know what, you're my man, you're my woman, and people are watching you, people are looking at you, and you represent something very important to me, and therefore I'm going to use you as a tool because it's not going to harm you. It's going to focus you. How many of you think Pastor David's sermon last Sunday was focused? I mean, that was laser sharp. Can I get an amen in the house? All right. This dear saint over here, one of the most wonderful ladies I've ever met, and I'll never forget the day she came into church because she's my predecessor's wife. And she says to me, is it okay if I attend church here? Because morally, when a pastor leaves a church, his family's supposed to leave as well. And what did I say to you, Marion? That's exactly right. It's not my kingdom. And that lady's agenda, and I swear, from that moment forward, her agenda was simply to be part of the kingdom. But guess what I saw in her before that ever came? The fact that that was her agenda. It wasn't about herself. It wasn't about her stuff. It was about the kingdom. Miss Susan, why do you play music in the church?
The words and the hymns just talk to us.
To who?
Us.
Us. Did you hear that, lady? You see, it ain't about her. She's using what she has for others. And the evil one wants to take us out. With that mindset, God says, nope, I'm going to sharpen you. I'm going to sharpen you. How many of you love it when she plays that organ? How many of you love it when she plays that piano? You better believe it. I want you to think about where you are, what you're going through. You, dear brother, I know I saw you with your cane today. I laughed and joked with you, but I know you're in pain. We need to reach out a little bit harder in prayer for that boy. Y'all got me today? Because he's gone through some stuff. But the evil one does not have the victory. Can I get an amen? And there is a victory coming that is going to be full and complete. And that is the reconciliation of our souls. That is us being conformed to the image of Christ. It's not all about you. Some of it's about us getting our stuff together, minding to you. It's the way it was for you. It's the way it's going to be for all of us. God's going to come in, he's going to let some stuff fall away, but he's going to rebuild. Because God says, behold, I do a new thing. Will you not perceive it? Do you realize he's asking you a question? He's asking you a question. Because the reality is we have to work with him. God's not going to come in. He's not going to tear down your kitchen cabinets. He's not going to come in and uproot your bad carpet. He's not going to come in and rip off the siding off of your life. You know, he's not going to come in and just blow the roof off of your home. What's he going to do? He's going to come in and he's going to quietly talk to you. He's going to quietly try to enter into your life. And he's going to say, here I am. And what are we going to say? What's our reply to him going to be? Turn in your Bibles to our next scripture, which is Isaiah 43. Because I want you to understand something. This is not new. This is old. We are going to be in the book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. We're going to begin in verse 18. And we're going to go through 21. Isaiah 43, 18 through 21. From the 18th verse of the book of Isaiah in the 43rd chapter, thus saith the word of the Lord. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder on things of the past. Let's stop. How many of us have to go back and bring up all kinds of old stuff? Does anybody here do that? You're all a bunch of liars. There we go. I got a hand slowly creeping up. Okay? I'm going to ask husbands and wives. Okay? I want you to think about this. How many times do we get into a educated discussion and things from 15 years ago come into that discussion? How many of us, when we're dealing with the church, I want you to think about this, church. We're the church. How many of us, when we're dealing with the church, well, those people. Well, who are those people? Well, you know those people. And we never forgive the church. How many people, how many of you here are perfect? Awesome. How many of you here are looking for perfection? We know his name. But we have to become like him. And that means we have to let some things go. Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross of Calvary, suffering the worst thing that could ever happen to a human being, death on a cross, he looked up towards heaven and he spoke some wonderful words. And he meant them when he said it. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He went through a torture that none of us could ever see or understand. But you and I need to understand one thing. The church is broken. How many of you will agree with me? The church is broken. But we are on our way to transformation. And there are so many people who won't come back to church because, well, those people, excuse me, you are one of those people. We all hurt each other. It's not done on purpose. Now, I will say this, sometimes it is because people can be evil. There's a new one for you. You mean in the church? Yes, in the church. Believe me, I'm a pastor, and I love how Pastor Dave puts it. When we're at our pastoral meetings, he says, yeah, he says, you know, we're the pastor of the sheep, and they all look wonderful, and they were wondering, bah, bah, and they want to come up and rub on you. Well, the bad thing is they've been out in the brambles and the briars and rolling around in the mud and the poop and all that stuff, and guess what they're doing? They're rubbing it all over you. And some of them bite. And some of them kick. And some of them, when you got your back turned, will ram you like you wouldn't believe. They're sheep. Expect it. We need to understand these things because we are capable of them. Can I get an amen? And therefore, we must walk in a forgiveness. We must walk in a newness of life. And we have to stop calling these former things back into the present and realize that we need to offer the same grace that's been offered to us. And the grace that's been offered to us was paid for on the cross of Calvary. It wasn't paid for at the five and dime with nickels and pennies. It was paid for with the life of Christ. And we need to pay that life too. And he's not asking us to pay it unto death, but to pay it unto life. Can I get an amen? And in that life, this is what he says from verse 19. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will glorify me, the jackals and the ostrich, because I have given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people. The people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise. Now we read that, but have you seen what that really says? Because when we allow God to tear off those old cabinets and rip up that bad flooring and tear off that siding and rip off that roof and put down new stuff, what is that new stuff? It's blessings. It is rivers in the desert. It is a roadway in the wilderness that even the beasts will glorify God for what they see happening in our lives. When we understand blessing is going to come to you as you go through these trials and tribulations, all of a sudden the trial and the tribulation does not have as much weight or should not have as much weight as what this world puts on things. How many of us see these people out there screaming at the top of their lungs and just being completely over the edge? I hate to tell you, that can be us too. Does anybody walk there? All you got to do is ride in the car with me for about 25 minutes and I'll prove it. I am a work of progressive sanctification. I am not perfect, neither are you. But as we are being conformed to Christ, God says, I'm doing a new thing, and this is one of the things, and we all have to look at this. Will you not be aware of it? That's you choosing to see the hand of God working in your life. Choosing to see the good that can come and will come if you submit to him or ignoring it. How much of our world ignores it? How much do we ignore it? Because that's change. How many of us want the world to change? Truly, raise your hand. I'm serious. You want the world to change? Awesome. It starts with you. Because that's where God starts. He starts with you. He starts with me, for me. And it's funny because I have people come up to me. I'm your pastor, okay? And you all seen this. You've all been part of this. You know, you probably have people that do it to you. They'll walk up to you and say, the Lord gave me a word for you. Okay. What have I done to upset you? Go ahead, lay it on me. Because it ain't about what the Lord gave them. It's about I did something they didn't like. Okay? I'm going to tell you right now, if God's going to work on somebody, he's going to work on you. He isn't going to work on somebody else through you. Wives, husbands, did you hear me? And if you ain't married, look in the mirror. Because I'm going to tell you right now, it starts here with me. And the me I'm talking about is you. Yes, I'm talking about me. But I'm talking about you each being a me. And God will begin to do a work. And that work is going to bring forth blessing. One of the things I need us to understand is, can you afford to be blessed? Can you afford to be blessed? Many people don't realize blessing raises the level of your commitment. How many of you have figured that out yet? If God is going to bless you, if God is going to bring newness to you, God expects more from you. The cross of Calvary did not cheapen our faith. The cross of Calvary raised the bar of what it calls us to. Because the higher we raise Christ, the higher we too must be raised. For we will be what? Like him. And we need to understand that God does not want us down here at the foot of the cross anymore. He wants us up here on that cross, walking with him, experiencing the very realities of transformative love. And that is expensive. But it's also one of the most worthwhile things you will ever get because it leads right into our eternity. I love the song you chose for this morning because it truly is talking about our eternity and what we are going to look at further in the future, not just simply where I am now. God has a way that he wants us to live. And as we live it, the others, the beasts, the jackals, the ostriches, they'll glorify God. Why? Because of what they have seen God done through his chosen people. Do you perceive what God is saying to us here in this Bible? He has a way that he wants each and every one of us to walk. And may we be found where? In it. Man, yes. I know I didn't prep you for that, but I figure you ought to know the answer. In it. In him. And as we are found in him, he will transform us. The last scripture, the book of James. How many of you like the book of James? The book of James steps on all our toes because the book of James is truly one where we've got to work this thing out because he is literally telling on us just the way we are. You want to walk in conviction? Read the book of James. Okay? And I think it's funny. Why the book of James? Well, did not James reject the Christ? James actually came to his brother and said, "You're crazy." Okay? And after the resurrection, he became the head of the church in Jerusalem. That's how transformed this boy got. And that's the same transformation that God wants us to undergo. From the 21st verse of the book of James. Let us truly dive into the conforming love of God because I'm telling you right now, he loves you so much. He wants you to be like him so much. He does not want you to miss any goodness on this side of the grave that he says these words from 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not mere hearers who delude themselves. Period. Beginning of comment. When we look into the full word of the Lord, it has to change us. We have to see that we need to get rid of all this stuff. And I'm telling you right now, some of it is going to bother us. Because, but I, you know, that's an antique. Don't get rid of that, Lord. Doesn't that sound like something we would say? Oh, but Lord, I've had that for so long. I'm comfortable with it. You know, I got a chuckle. I see these young people today, they go out and they buy brand new jeans that have holes all over them. And I think to myself, I've thrown pants away that don't look that bad. But that's where our world lives. Because the world says this is the way to be. But we need to understand, no, this is the way we're supposed to be. Put away these things. Get rid of them. Because God wants us to be doers of what we believe. What do you believe? And I think it's amazing because we're going to be starting the Truth Project here at some point in time in the future. And the comment that they make throughout the entire Truth Project, and for those of you who've never been in the Truth Project, you really need to sign up for that when it becomes available, is, do you really believe that what you believe is really real? How many of you truly believe your faith? And that's between you and God, okay? But how many of us truly believe our faith? Do we believe that what this book says is really real? I don't know about you, but I'm sold out on the whole thing. Now, does that mean I have it all right? No, I'm a work in progress, and so are all of you. And I think it's amazing because I have all of you to help me get through this, okay? And you're all thinking, wait a minute, you're the one who's supposed to help us. That's the way it works. You help me, I help you. Because where you're strong, I may be weak. And as you give me strength, I'll give you strength where I am strong. And together we get through this thing. That's why we're not supposed to give up or forsake the assembly. It's understanding. We know that this word is true. There are many young people out there right now who are coming to a sense of saying there's something better. This is the better. This is who we're destined to be. This is how God has created us, and this is what he's created us for, is to become the image of Christ once again in our world. That was the image of Adam. Do you all understand that? That was the first man. He was the image of God. But it took the death of his son to bring that ability back to us. And now we have it. So let us walk in it, and let us be transformed, therefore. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. Please note, I have that underlined in my Bible. He was. What does that mean? That's past tense. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And that takes us right back to where we began in the book of Ephesians, that you and I need to understand. We are no longer to look back. That's also Isaiah. Don't bring up the former things, okay? We are no longer to be the was. We are to become the is becoming. And as we walk in that is becoming, we will grow into the image of Christ. And we will find the blessings of God in our lives. And we will truly be blessed and people of blessing. For once he has looked at himself and gone away and has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. When you and I understand that precept, that principle, all of a sudden we begin to realize these things that are holding me back are truly robbing me of blessing. And that blessing is not only for you, but it is for the others of your life. How many of you, and I think this is cute, I now have grandchildren. I have an adult child, and you know, I figured, hey, my stuff is over. I don't need to do anything to try and train him up anymore. And Lord, I'm perfect right where I am. Just let me coast. How many of you are at that place in life where you're just coasting to the end? Okay, I pray none of you are there, because that's not where we're supposed to be in Christ Jesus. Because now I have three little grandkids, and guess what I figured out? Beg pardon?
They watch you.
They watch you, and I have to start all over again. And you know what? It's amazing. Because it is bringing me to a sense of reality where I'm saying, oh my goodness, I got to work on this. I thought I did. And, you know, I mean, God forbid, because Lily's going to first grade this coming year, okay? She's just ending her, or no, kindergarten. She's going to kindergarten. She's in pre-K now. And Pappy walks around there and I say things and it's like, if she repeats that in school, they're going to ask her where she heard that, and she's going to say, Pappy. That's not cool, because Pappy's a preacher. those words, those things shouldn't be coming out of my mouth around anybody. And you're all looking at me and saying, what's he saying? There are words you say around kids that shouldn't be said, okay? And I'm not talking curse words, I'm talking other words. We all know what I mean. You don't use crash words around kids. And you don't use words that, you know, you don't look at the child and say, oh, don't be stupid, because then they're going to call people stupid. You don't want them calling people stupid. You know what I'm saying. And it's like, oh my gosh, I have to think about being who I am. I'm now Pappy. That's a whole nother level. You know, I thought pastor was a big thing. Being Pappy, that's the best thing I've ever become. And I love it. But you know what? I hear these screams. And I think to myself, oh my goodness. We've got little ones here that we're all raising up. Do you hear me? We're all raising up. I love it when I see our young men and young ladies sitting in, because now you're of age. Because I want you to learn. I want you to know, this man, I'm nobody special. I'm just a man. I love God, and I want you to learn to love him. And that means I need to show you that through myself. Not just the words that come out of my mouth, but my actions. And isn't that what being a doer of the word means? It's not about works. It's about being Christ in our world, to the world, because we are the only representation of him that they will ever see. And I don't know about you, but boy, I think I'm a pretty poor one. But it's the task he's given us, and you are up to it. Each and every one of you are up to it, to the ability of your faith. None of us have to be perfect. We simply have to be. And God will continue to transform us and bless us. And we will hear those little ones screaming downstairs. And we'll say, praise Jesus. The church is alive. And there is a hope and there is a future. And that's where I want us to go, is out there into this world, understanding that we are being conformed. And it's a work. And it takes time. I'm telling you, we've been working on that camp since 1982, and we're not done. I've been alive since 1962, and he's not done. I come in here today, and I saw something that just shook me, and I just smiled. We have our oldest congregant and our youngest in the room right now. Do you understand? I can't put this stuff together, but God certainly can he? And we have to be able to reach out to the oldest, to the youngest, and everybody in between. We're the in-between. Let us reach out one to another and be conformed to the greatest thing we know, the image of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died and gave us the hope of life. And in that life, may we be found, and may his glory reign over us. Amen? Pray with me. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for being conformed to your image. We thank you that you're tearing things out. We thank you that you're rebuilding with new things, that we may truly experience your life, your blessing, your way, your will, that it may become our faith. And that we find our place, we find our purpose, and in that, the hope of glory. So Lord, use us, reconstruct us, whatever you need to do. We put ourselves in your hands, that your grace, your mercy, and your way would be who we are and are yet becoming. in the fullness of our Lord and Savior, who is Jesus the Christ, your Son and our Savior. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.